Welcome to the Point After Show with Kyle Maurer, Marshall Heslaw, and Ian DeWitt. This is the show where the guys attempt to pick the winners of the weekly NFL games along with some healthy debate about current topics. Let's go.
Am I supposed to say something?
Yes! usually we blurt out right as soon as the show starts. Today we do not have Ian DeWitt. Ian DeWitt is out. MIA.
He's our chief blurter.
So today instead we have our good friend, Rick. Rick, introduce yourself. Hello.
Hi. Hi. Hey. I'm the NFL novice here, so I appreciate it.
Moving on. No, I'm kidding. Rick is going to be joining us today. He's going to be our guest. Mm-hmm. Actually, kind of interested in the idea of having guests in the future. If you're a listener and you want to be a guest one day, we got an extra mic here. We have four mics. We'd love to have you join.
I'm into it. Yeah, just express to one of us in person if that intrigues you. We've had live callers on the show. That's always fun. And we haven't had one this season, as a matter of fact.
Bingo. You're our first, Rick.
And I'm proof that they'll take anyone. So
you are, and he's humble. So question of the day, we start off, by the way, I really hope that people, before we get to question of the day, I hope people listen to the pod. And then they like skip forward 30 seconds and realize like, wait, what the hell happened to start this pod? Why is it so quiet?
Yeah.
I cannot wait. I'm looking at the soundtrack right now of just empty waves, no waves. It's great.
Nothing's more fun than messing with your listeners. Yes.
Totally. All right. Question of the day. Kyle, break it down for us.
Tell us, gentlemen, your only one best poker story.
Oh, gosh.
Rick and I played a game of poker this weekend together, and I was learning a little bit about what a veteran he is at that sport.
It's not a sport when you could just sit there. I mean, really.
Debatable.
Well, give us your one poker story.
Oh, gosh. I have so many.
I know you do.
Gosh, I'm a cash player. I'm not a tournament guy. Different type of play. I'll play tournaments. I just suck at it. So I guess my best cash story is I was down in Florida. My dad was playing a tournament, and I had a free vacation because he was down in Florida playing a tournament. So I was there just playing cash and whatever. And he's like, "Hey, let's go to this place I heard about from guys that were playing." So we go, and it's like this old dog track that doesn't race dogs anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, like old style, like, you know, they still got the stained glass, lights and stuff that are above, you know, the tables just like real, like classy old style.
Mm-hmm. And the bond poker scene, basically.
Yeah. And I'm like, of course, like the youngest by like their grandchild or something.
Wow.
And I'm, you know, yeah. And so a bunch of, you know, old guys in there. And so we come in, and it was a little weird just because, like, I didn't know anybody or whatever. And so we play through the night, and I do pretty well. I clean out a few guys, and you're not supposed to do that, I guess. so we get down to, like, close to the end of the night, at least for us, because these guys play into the a.m. hours. And I end up shoving, meaning all chips go to the center, and it was a couple $1,000, and because I had two pair, I thought it was the best, and didn't even see the flush that was out there. And so this guy, of course, calls me because he's got the flush, and he's just like, and so they play the last card, and I hit my third card, I hit my full house and beat his flush.
Oh.
And they're just mad and just like swearing. I'm like, how could you call that? How could you, you know? And then literally like the next hand, my dad gets up, taps me on the shoulder, says, "Hey, let's go." We're like, and you're not supposed to, when you want a huge hand, you don't just walk away. Like, oh, thanks guys, and peace out. Like, that's not, you got to give him a chance to maybe make his money back. Mm. So that's like, you know, bad
etiquette.
Yeah, very bad etiquette. So. Okay. But yeah, it was kind of funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So apparently there's some very old people down in Florida that hate me. So.
Shout out to them. They're probably living with Jerry Seinfeld's parents there. Kyle, do you got yours? Hopefully it happened this weekend when you played poker with Rick and a few other people.
You know, I did have a good time, and that was definitely the most money I've ever played for, because I've played poker many times, but I think it was
$20 buy-in, everybody at home.
Yes.
I think I've played once with like quarters before, But that was the only time I remember actually money being on the
quarters.
Table.
You're awesome.
But the most memorable poker experience wasn't so much about the poker game, other than December 13th, 2007.
You're amazing.
It was
2017. Well, Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Getting kind of late, and me and a bunch of buddies were playing poker at the Potter Center at JCC because we were taking classes out there. And I don't know if our classes were done or we skipped classes or whatever. I don't remember that part. But I was scheduled to go on a date after that, and I was waiting to hear back.
Chica-chica.
And that was my friend Brett hit a royal flush, and that was the first time I'd ever seen a royal flush in a game. Mm-hmm. You know, after playing something, you don't see those every day. No. And you know, so we're all hyped up and having fun, and then I realized that I've been texting this girl the wrong number because I had taken. She's my wife now. Ah. Actually, I had taken what I thought was her number from her brother's phone. But it was a different Ashley, and so I was texting the wrong girl. And so I had to go into, like, the computer lab there and, like, open up Internet Explorer and log into Facebook and send a Facebook message and try and get the correct number and text Ashley. And then shortly after, we went on our first date, and we saw No Country for Old Men at the theater.
Wow.
Then we went to Denny's with friends. And then we went to see I Am Legend at the theater.
It's a great poker story, guys.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
It was a great first date.
Did you do it with your poker winnings? All the quarters.
We didn't play for money. We just played for fun. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm pretty good at poker. I play poker probably 3 or 4 times a week when I was in high school as a senior. Finished football season, a few of us guys would go play for $5 buy-in. Eventually it turned into 10 and 20. Usually stayed right around there. But my best story is I went to a bachelor party about 2 years ago. I was the only sober person there. I walked out plus 180.
Wow.
Okay.
It was a $20 buy-in, and multiple times the person for the bachelor party was kind of inebriated, and after I took his money once, he made his brother buy him in, and I said, I'll play you for the money without looking at the hand. Took his money the second time. His second brother bought him in again. I said, let's double or nothing it. I'll put now 2 of your buy-ins up. Took him again without looking at hands. And then he got pissed, came back. He did decent the rest of the game, but it was our running joke that the only sober person walked out with a majority of the money from that poker game. So
good memories.
Definitely felt like James Bond minus the to the left, to the left. Oh! Those of you James Bond fans out there, I really hope you get that reference. The rest of you, shame on you. Let's move on to our biggest news of the week. Last few weeks, I have come in here really somber. Okay, yeah. I've come in here, you know, just woe is me.
That's true. Debbie Downer.
And I'm not doing it today, all right?
Yes!
But before I get to that, we are going to talk about something. I need to call the police. I don't know who I need to call. Call somebody. We need to outlaw Thursday Night Football. The NFL basically said, hey, we want another night in the week. We already own Sunday. That's not even a question. People don't even go to mass because they want to see us. On Monday, they moved every, like, nighttime programming from Mondays to Tuesday. So I'm sure like NBC and ABC and CBS and all of them are like, just put everything on Tuesday. Okay. Then they said, 2 nights isn't good enough. We're taking Thursday in the middle of the week. There is not enough time for these bodies to be recovering. And especially with a 17 regular season games coming up, we are now starting to see the shitty outcomes of the process with these god-awful games. Now, I don't know, to be fair, if these are the god-awful games or...
Throwing in a to be fair in Ian's absence.
Thank you. Yeah. Catch that. Listeners, listen to when I say to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the god-awful games or if it's just every time I turn the TV on, the Denver Broncos are on. So I don't know about that, but I'll be honest. After the Debbie Downer I've been the last couple weeks, we had a great football game this week, guys. I don't know if you saw it.
We had one.
Alabama and Tennessee, 52-49. What a game. The knuckleball kick to win it. They took the field goal post, threw it in the lake of Tennessee. I loved it.
Almost as good as Stanford.
Shut. I'm going to mute your mic.
Did you see?
So my biggest news, I just muted Kyle's mic.
Unmute me.
I'm not muting you. The greatest.
Unmute me.
The biggest news from the week for me is absolutely the Bills and Chiefs game. Not only did Tony Romo predict the exact score that the game actually delivered, but
your child,
it hit the under in the first half. Who would have thought the Bills and Chiefs would hit the under in the first half? But the second half, an absolute offensive explosion. Josh Allen, great stat for Kyle right here, 3-0 in games that he hurdles somebody. Okay. The corners of the Chiefs did not hold up, as many expected, injury problems. But if you watched the Chiefs, you knew it going into this game. Those wide receivers are going to torch them. Did you know that Mahomes has never played in a road playoff game in his entire career so far? That may change this year. Von Miller, we're going to talk about him a little bit later. He paid for every penny on his contract with the one sack and another pressure that he got on Patrick Mahomes in the last drive of the fourth quarter.
That was incredible.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
That's the game you needed to watch. I know last week we said, is it that or is it the Giants and Eagles? And I'm telling you Eagles right now, if you pick – or Cowboys and Eagles, if you pick that game, woof.
Yeah.
You did not pick the game to watch. You picked a three-interception Cooper rush game. Like, ugh.
No, Bills-Chiefs was the game of this. That was the most anticipated game of the season, and we got it this early, week six. I mean, this is what everybody was waiting all year for. We got to see them play again. That's real football. That's the game that you – I mean, that's what this is all about, see great teams go against each other.
I thoroughly enjoy the game. I think that it's something that we're going to see again. Everybody's saying it. And I think, you know, Tony Romo made a good point. This is starting to get to the precipice where it's the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. When do they play in the year? And that's what we're going to start having with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And to me, I'm going to mark my calendar. I'm going to clear the schedule, unlike I did yesterday. Shout out to confirmation. Totally. But that's my biggest news for the week. How about you, Kyle?
Let's see. I love what you're hitting on. I love the vibe. I'm totally with you. I'm gonna go with something a little negative. Because something's been frustrating me watching some of the seasons progress for a few teams in the NFL. You know what ticks me off? Teams who really fail to capitalize on their windows by building complete teams. I just don't understand this. I may never understand this. Maybe there's a rational explanation for this, that someone who's a little bit more of an expert in the inner workings of these franchises could explain it to me, but I just don't get it. I look around the league. I see a good, at least five teams, which truly I think are so close, just so obnoxiously close, and have very obvious, it's not mystifying, it's so clear, they have such obvious issues to address. But for reasons I just don't get, they don't. They don't address those problems. I'm talking about those teams who have the transcendent Hall of Fame, elevating talent, playing at or near their peak, and they're being let down week after week by underperforming supporting casts. I think this is infuriating because we know that it can be done. You can complete your roster. You can fill those holes and solve these problems. It's all solvable. Why don't you do it? Look at the Chiefs and Bills. They're the best teams in the NFL, hands down. They're complete. Complete teams. They can compete at every level. To me, watching them play makes the rest of the NFL kind of seem dull and a little amateur in comparison. And they're making the most of the moments that they have. If you compare that to other teams, these other fringe teams, these close teams like Packers, Ravens, Niners, Cardinals, Bengals, these are teams that, like, they have a lot. They have so much that's so good. And yet they're missing some key elements. And this is not new. All of those teams have had these same problems for multiple seasons. The Ravens, the Packers, the Niners, the Cardinals, and the Bengals have been struggling with the same problems for multiple seasons, and they're failing to address them while they have generational talent doing their best, but it's not enough because it's a team sport. It's frustrating to watch. Anyway, also, let's go Falcons. How about the birds? How about America's team? Atlanta Falcons. Is it not amazing to watch a team like that come out of here and upset these other teams? I mean, I also love just observing how many different ways there clearly are to win a game when you have the Falcons starting Marcus Mariota, who in the total in the game goes 13 of 14 passing. And
I mean intense.
That's nuts. And then Matt Ryan also getting a W for the Colts.
Listen to this stat.
Going 42 of 58 passing.
Holy crap. Ryan is going to have an icy hot sponsorship by the end of tomorrow. Absolutely stunning.
It's wild. But Atlanta's got a fierce, unique run game going on. It's kind of entertaining and surprising. The Falcons, and also I would say the Seahawks, are such fun trap teams right now. Watch out for them. They're sneaky and fun. Geno Smith for MVP. That's my take.
You know, I look at why teams aren't building and throwing in and going all in and F the picks and stuff like that. Do you know why? Because teams like the Jets exist, who hit every draft pick that they had the last year, basically. I mean, that's why teams like the Dolphins and Bengals are struggling right now, because their offensive line can't block for anybody. It surprised Joe Burrow's still alive, yet alone throwing passes to Jamar Chase for 60 yards to win a game. It's a surprise that the Dolphins are playing football, because every single time they play, their line can't block and they're losing a quarterback. Every time.
It's not even
they
funny.
Lost to, oh, and by the way, Tua Tagovailoa and Teddy Bridgewater, quarterbacks for the Miami Dolphins, both cleared concussion protocol. Neither of them played on Sunday. And by neither of them played, I mean neither of them started, because their other third-string quarterback got injured. And guess who had to go in? Teddy. It's a miracle. But that's a team that they, you know, signed a amazing, what everyone said was the best left tackle available from the New Orleans Saints. I think his name's Armstrong. And boom, injured, gone. You know, what are we going to do? Their offensive line is in shambles. That's why teams don't go acquire. That's why the Buccaneers have been such an outlier in terms of acquiring a dream team of, you know, assets for Tom Brady to say, you know what, I'll take $14 million less this year and you can go buy me an offensive line. Yeah. You know, that's an outlier. So biggest news of the week for us is kind of a staple around here, Rick, and it's okay if you don't have one today, but one thing I will do is we have a biggest news from Ian DeWitt. Ian DeWitt writes in, are the New York Giants for real? They've beaten the Titans, the Panthers, the Bears, the Packers, and the Ravens. So you either state that the Titans, Packers, Ravens are all below average, or you give the Giants some credit for winning against some solid teams. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, honestly, but their top 10 defense looks really solid, and they look well coached. And through their toughest stretch of games, here they are. Their remaining schedule doesn't look super scary at this moment, and I could easily see this team snagging a wild card spot and second in the division behind the Eagles.
Okay. Thanks, Ian, for writing into the show. Chuckle, chuckle.
That is our biggest news of the week, and now we're going to move on to Twitter prompts and hot takes, and we're going to start off with a friend of ours called The Commish.
This is Adam Silver, a.k.a. The Commish, and this is The Commish Report. So, yeah, it's Adam Silver, The Commish here with The Commish Report. D, yeah, well, actually F, I give him an F, but let's start with the D. The D was absent today, D as in defense, and hurting
Mariota
by losing additional starters. That said, allowing Marcus freaking Mariota to complete every pass until the fourth quarter was inexcusable. Come on, guys. Pass rush was clearly affected by the loss of Bosa and the absence of Armistead. Truly shows with Nick out of the game. Never mind Kinlaw. At this point, I'm not even counting on him for anything. I'll go ahead and say it. Injury prone or not, he looks like a bust. Man, we miss Buckner. As far as Jimmy goes, he played a hell of a game with very little support. Two potential touchdown drops by McLeod and Werner. Not good, of course. Only one bad throw, but it came in desperation time, and it was knocked down. Virtually no run game, and essentially abandoned after going down 14-0. Happy to see them coming back to 14-14 to start afresh, but still, come on. But maybe the worst part of this game was after the failed fourth down conversion at the end of the game. At that point, the contest was over. Wave the white flag and prepare to go home. Now, tell me why. Why? Why were the starters in the game down to the last tick of the clock? The team has lost half of its starters from the opening day roster. Again, I'm going to say that one more time. The team has lost half of its starters from the opening day roster. Why risk losing more key players in garbage time? Stupid. That one can be placed on no one else but the head coach. Purely negligence by Shanahan. That said, what's done is done. Let's hope the injuries to Bosa and Ward are not long term. Yeah, I leave you the following two hashtags. Hashtag one to forget and hashtag fortunate the rest of the NFC West sucks. This is the commish from the commish report. See you next week.
Thank you.
Tell me why.
You forget that the
Seahawks 49ers sucked yesterday.
Adam, you forget the Seahawks are in that division.
Yeah, put some respect on Geno Smith.
Leading that division.
I'll say this, though, Kamish. It's good to hear your pain and suffering because I've been watching Notre Dame get their ass kicked the last three times this season, and I'm just infuriated, and I need to hear just somebody else in pain. So thank you. We really appreciate your pain.
I got a question. How many games into the season does Geno have to keep this up before people stop laughing about him? How many? Is it 8 games? Is it 10 games? Is it 12 games? How many more games before he gets some
respect? You want an arbitrary number? 6.
We're 6 games in.
No. 6 more.
Oh.
6 more. Double it. Do it on Sunday.
So you will laugh for 5 more games.
Yeah, I have 5
on
more
on the 6th game.
I haven't been laughing at Geno. I said put some respect on his name.
You had
somehow Tyler Lockett has been open in the end zone for 60 yards every week of his life.
I know. It's amazing.
Let's move on to some of our other questions. We have quite a few. I'm kind of excited to hear some of these, and it was kind of funny hearing some of them. Justin Matson, our Vikings fan, shout out to the Vikings. Is it Stoll? Is that what they say?
Stoll. Oh, yeah. Skull.
Skull. Sorry. Yeah. Whatever. You're going to punch me in the face next time you see me, Justin. All right. Question. This is going to go right to you guys. Russell Wilson or Nathaniel Hackett? One of them must go. One of them will not be there next year. Who do you think it'll be? The head coach or the starting quarterback? What do you think, Rick?
Both are new.
I don't see them letting go of the coach that quickly.
Wow.
I don't.
So you think quarterback would be gone before the coach?
Yep.
That's tough.
I'd love to hear that from Rick. I honestly, and this is my first time having like a legit conversation with Rick. We've probably met at like a Food Truck Tuesday or something like that downtown.
Yep.
But besides that, this is our real first conversation. I don't know if he knows who the hell Russell Wilson is.
I've heard the name.
Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. I just love all of this. Yeah. What do you think, Kyle?
They brought Russell Wilson in for a big time deal.
Huge.
And then, before he'd even played a game, they renegotiated that deal to be even bigger. Even bigger in the offseason. Like, they traded for him, and then months later, they're like, yeah, we haven't even played a game, and they renegotiated the same contract to be even bigger. He's committed to them until he's 40. 5 years. For 9 figures here. And it's...
They're not getting rid of him.
It's hard for me to... They're a couple years out before they could even have a reasonable out. On that contract.
Absolutely. I just don't... In the league we're in, it's a quarterback's league. It's not a head coach's league.
Yeah.
To the point where people are asking, like, NFL, you know, I'd say experts like Jay Glazer, like, hey, Nathaniel Hackett, is this guy, no, not to be a punt, is he a hack? Or, like, is this legit?
Yeah.
Does he suck? And they're like, no, he's good. This is not working. And from what he talked about, Jay Glazer, he talked about how this is a run-first team, and they are... 4 or 5 wide every play. If they sometimes motion a running back into the backfield, like, it's just a different team. And as offensive linemen, you block differently on a run block than you do on a pass block. Some linemen aren't meant to do that. So, Justin, that's a great question. Let's move on to Elliot Asateo. Bigger problem for Tom Brady, his marriage, or losing to the Steelers?
That's tough.
It's so good that we're talking about this man's personal life on our podcast. It's definitely tougher to lose to the Steelers. Anybody can get dumped by a model. Anybody. Yeah. I mean, you were there, so be grateful.
Right.
I have another question that kind of coincides. It's not a question. It's more of a hot take. Colleen Anitor says, Tom Brady, you need to retire yesterday. Make Giselle your number one priority.
Yeah.
Any hot takes on that, Rick?
I think he's a professional. I think he can handle both, to be honest with you, and it not affect things. And I just don't know if the two are connected. They've been through a lot in his career, so I don't think this is the him unretiring was the big thing. I think there's more going on, and I don't care to even know, to be honest with you.
But. See, that's what I'm saying. There's more to this. It can't be this simple. It can't be like what we're getting in the tabloids. There's no way that's the real story. Come on.
I just can't. I can't imagine totally it's right. that. They've been through so much, and so I think it's other things. And again, it's his personal life. I don't really care. So,
thank you for joining us on ET. Now on to our next question from Tom Butterfield. Is the race for the NFC North over? Kyle, you're an NFC North expert. What do you think?
Heck no.
Okay, it's not over there. You heard it there, Tom.
Heck no, it's not over. We've got a lot of games left to play.
Who's your pick for it?
Chicago. Kyle? Chicago.
What?
No.
Connect. They've had more passing completions than, like, I don't know.
Nobody.
Maybe Sister Mary Clarence of the Blind.
Yeah. I don't know. Then maybe Brian Hoyer. I don't know.
Gosh. Yeah. Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
Do you got the Packers winning it?
Oh, man. These last 2 weeks have really shaken my confidence, to be honest. To lose the two.
By the way, listeners, before Kyle gets going, this two things. One, Kyle never talks Packers. For the big Packers fan he is, he refuses, unless it's really urgent, to talk Packers. He gave us a whole diatribe to end the season last year, but we never really got much throughout the season. And I was given only the second piece of this. I was only given one instruction from our former co-host, and by former I mean current, but just not here today, Ian DeWitt. Bury those Packers for Kyle. So Kyle, go ahead.
Oh no! Stop it.
Go ahead, Kyle. I want to hear what you think about
the
Packers.
Be sensitive here. My confidence was shaken the past 2 weeks. Losing to the two New York teams, I don't know what to make of this. The offense looks completely dysfunctional. We're now 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Actually, we played, what, 5 games? 6 games? There was one game where the offense looked like it functioned at a high level, and that was against Chicago. Mm. And, I mean, they owned Chicago.
I hit my parlay at halftime.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All the other games, this offense looks like it's just not working. I mean, it's not the Broncos, where that's the definition of not working.
Totally.
But it's not what it needs to be. And I'm actually honestly quite disappointed in the defense. This defense actually, they invested a lot in. They lost Za'Darius Smith to the Vikings.
I was going to say, that was a huge loss.
That was a big loss. And he put up. Za'Darius did have a great game this Sunday for the Vikings. His loss is experience. But Rashawn Gary and Campbell and Jair Alexander, and like this is a great defensive roster. I truly think it doesn't have a great excuse for not being a top five defense. It should be, but it's not playing at that level. All of these, the New York Giants, the New York Jets, all these teams are having their way with the
How
defense.
How many weeks does Daniel Jones have to do this before you start putting some respect on his name and stop laughing at him? Geno Smith.
Don't you start that with me. I was the one who said I'd take him over Tua.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to just lean back on this one. Go ahead, Kyle. I definitely feel, can I give you a take that you're not going to like? I think it's fire sale time. In terms of, like, this is the highest value that some of those guys are going to get.
This roster is too good.
No, I just...
It's just missing some stuff.
But, thanks. That was good analysis. It's just missing some stuff. Thanks, come on. Smart ass.
Come on.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but the Lions would be good. They're missing stuff, too. Like, this team is underperforming every position. They can't block for Aaron Rodgers. He's holding on to the ball too long. Wide receivers aren't getting open that aren't named Randall Cobb. They're putting both running backs in the backfield and not running it with either of them. The defense has been in shambles. Their special teams is getting blitzed by the Jets. Like, does this say more about the Jets taking steps forward or about the Packers falling backwards? In my opinion, no one wants to trade when it's highest. This is the highest point. You're telling me that teams would not unload everything right now for an Aaron Rodgers? I think the difficulty for them is their next two best players are both running backs. And with a free agent class that has, you know, Saquon Barkley and probably four or five other top 10 running backs being free agents next year. No one's going to trade for running backs unless it's Christian McCaffrey going to the Bills.
Right.
You know, I think that this is the time to sell, and this is not because Ian told me to light the, you know, Packers on fire. I truly feel this is the time to sell. If I'm an asset, you know, coordinator, get them out.
It's really tempting. I see the logic in that.
And what are you going to do it and have Jordan Love there?
No, I definitely don't believe in Jordan Love.
Nobody does.
I'm not bought into that.
I think Wentz is available.
That was good. You just earned your first one. Last question from Tom Butterfield.
He's always available.
Are the Eagles' defense that good? Or is the Eagles' defense that good? Or are the Cowboys' offense just that bad? I think those cornerbacks have been playing out of their mind for the Eagles. I think that they have two great offense or defensive rookies, nose tackle and linebacker, both out of Georgia. And I think they're playing lights out. Mm-hmm. So I think that their defense is a great asset. Do I think Cooper Rush sucks? Sucks is a bad word. He had a shitty game, I'll put it like that. But in general, their team got the clamps put on him yesterday.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb was a non-factor during that game. So,
yeah, anybody who's going to, like, blame Cooper Rush on this loss, like,
you're missing the picture.
You're totally stupid.
Totally. You're throwing a dart at the dartboard, and you're not even in the house. It just went out the window. This is the
backup quarterback who's 4-1 in his starts. Yep. Like, come on. Nothing but respect.
Next question comes from Eric Giannunzio. Is it possible for Jalen Hurts to ever earn the public's respect as an NFL quarterback? Or will the fact that Nick Saban dumped him for Tua always cause people to doubt? How many titles would it take?
I don't think it takes any titles. He's on the fast track right now.
He's done it for one season.
He keeps this up for the rest of the season, and he'll start being compared to Justin Herbert, who is the...
He'll start being compared to Kyler Murray, who did it for two seasons.
Many will make those comparisons. Sure, I'm just saying because Herbert and Hurts were in the same class, the same rookie class.
Yep.
And Herbert was the standout offensive rookie of the year star and the darling of the NFL that year and the next year, and is still one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now. Hurts has been progressing a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better, and it's kind of sneaking up on us at this point. The rest of us are like, oh yeah, I guess he's kind of playing really well now. He's kept getting better.
I'll be curious to see how he plays for the rest of the season. I think he's a quarterback. He's definitely above the, like, you know, they talk about the, like, meteoric, like, whether you're going to play with a average quarterback and sign him, like Kirk Cousins, like...
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep saying Kirk Cousins because that's what I think of. I hate Kirk Cousins so much. I just hate him.
I know you do. He comes up all the time.
I hate him so much
because we talk about him constantly.
I don't know if I've told you this, Kyle, but I hate him. And, you know, he's above that type of quarterback that you want to sign to a long-term deal. Like the Eagles right now basically put all this, like we talked about last week, put all this money in the skills players and the defense, and they're all in on this year.
If I recall, they had like the most first-round draft picks this previous draft in the league. Like they've got a young, talented team. They had a lot of cap space.
You know, I know the Dolphins had like three, so I don't know necessarily if that's true or not, but I definitely know that they got a ton of assets out of the draft. So
yeah,
I don't see the narrative of Tua and Jalen Hurts. Actually, I think Jalen Hurts is probably one of the best transfer quarterbacks I can think of that gained notoriety by transferring to Oklahoma, playing well there and getting drafted. I think, and I'll never forget, he shaved his head.
Yeah.
You know, because he had the long dreads at Alabama. That was pretty sweet.
I think a little bit of NFL success very quickly.
One playoff win?
Like, just a little bit of NFL success makes us forget about the college stories pretty quickly. Like, this is the big league, and this is the now, and that was the past, and we'll forget about the college narratives relatively quickly. We, as in, like, the viewing public.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if
I'm generally – I'm not talking about you, Marshall. I'm talking about the general viewing public. I'm not talking about you.
Listen, I remember Tate Forcier in Michigan, all right? I just remember that fucker. All right, I don't care if he came to the NFL and won 8 Super Bowls. I remember him.
I remember John DeVar.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's move on to our...
Mike Hart, who just had like the heart attack or something.
I was about to do the joking thing, but that's not a joke.
It's actually not funny. But that was pretty sad. Mike Hart is like the all-time rushing leader for the University of Michigan football team. Now he's the team's running back coach.
Isn't he the creator of that little brother phrase?
Yeah.
Gosh, what a douche. To answer your question, G, I got to say, I don't think it's about the titles. I think he's got to win one playoff game. I think that's kind of the stepping stone for quarterbacks and how we measure greatness. They got to do this first. It's kind of the whole like joke about like the Warriors needed to make the playoffs, and then they needed to win a series, and then they needed conference finals, and then they were ready to win the NBA finals.
I don't buy that take. I feel like there's a consensus that Justin Herbert is already great. And he hasn't even made the playoffs yet.
Did you hear them talking about how there could be... Sean Payton talked about how if there was an opening for the Cowboys or the Chargers, that he would be interested. He said that on live TV.
I didn't hear that.
Say things about people that are currently employed and saying, you know, if they get fired, I'd be interested. He's in the second year of his contract. Their head coach for the Chargers. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Yeah, second year. So I thought that was pretty nuts.
It could happen. They're another underperforming, talented team.
Our next question comes from Nate Gregorio. The Red Wings will make the playoffs, and they will win at least one series. You heard it here first. Rick, go ahead. Lay it out. This was, by the way, unprompted about you being a Red Wings fan and this coming in. Just randomly he said this.
Literally watching the game as we're sitting here. I just don't see them making the playoffs. I honestly don't. And honestly, I want them to have a lottery pick.
You literally said before we got on here that they were going to make the playoffs.
No. Heck no.
Did that not happen before these mics turned on?
No. I said they're on track to be
undefeated.
Undefeated.
Yeah, making the playoffs. Yeah. What are they right now?
2-0.
See? So. In the playoff. They're in the hunt right now. And the graphics for NFL would say in the hunt.
Wow.
Next question from Nate Gregorio, non-Red Wing specific. Do the Dolphins make the Super Bowl this year with Tua leading the way once he returns from injury?
What do you think, Marshall?
I got to see this guy play for more than a week. I got to know if he's going to keep up. I'm scared. To be honest, I'm going to have a hard time watching Sunday Night Football next. I'm legit about this. Like, I really tend to separate sports from the politics and, you know, stuff like, I'm going to have a hard time watching him play. I really will. I think I'm scared for him. Like, I would not be heartbroken as a fan to know one of the quarterbacks that I've rooted for, you know, so how many times have I picked the Dolphins incorrectly, Kyle? Mm-hmm. A lot. Mm-hmm. And it would hurt me to see this guy take, what if he died on the field? I don't mean to go that way. I don't mean to make this somber, but is that what it's going to take for us to start having this be taken seriously?
What do you mean? It's being taken seriously right now.
After the fact. This is a reactionary league. They're reactionary about
everything. You want it to be a pro-actionary league? What are you talking about?
Do I want them to take concussions seriously? Yeah, I want them to take it seriously.
Before they happen?
I would not send a quarterback in after he got an alleged back injury.
Everyone agrees that that was not handled properly. Everyone agrees with that. There's nobody here who's saying that was great.
But just saying, okay, so it wasn't handled properly. Well, I guess next time we will. So we're just going to say about every time they fuck up?
Yeah.
Oh, guys, you know what? I know Roger Goodell beat the shit out of his wife, but, you know, our next commissioner, we'll just make sure that he doesn't do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
what are you going to do? Time travel?
I'm going to have a hard time watching that game on Sunday. I'm scared. That's a Ryan Flores revenge game. He's on that defensive staff for the Steelers. The Dolphins screwed him so bad that who's to say they don't just send the dogs?
I don't know, man.
Same team that beat the Bucks yesterday. I will never understand this league. 5 teams played in the first round of games yesterday. Underdogs, all 5-1. What the hell?
That's fun. That's a fun Sunday of football.
I guess I'll give you your answer by saying that I don't have an answer right now, and I think that we really need to see the next 2 weeks and to see how he plays. You know, it's a scary – concussions are nothing to mess with. So that's my take on it. Our next question comes from Dan Brooks. Thank you for the job, Dan, my principal. Where is the next win on the Lions' schedule, And who is a bigger surprise, the Giants or the Jets? The Giants are absolutely the biggest surprise. It's not even close to me. I thought about the Giants as like they're already tanking a game into the season. Like I thought about that like, oh gosh, they must be like getting ready for like CJ Stroud or Bryce Young to come and be their quarterback, and then they're boom, here they are. What is it, 5-1?
4-1.
They're nuts. Wait, it's nuts to think about. So
no, they are 5-1. They're 5-1.
The Giants are not even a question, the bigger surprise. What do you guys think is the biggest surprise, Jets or Giants?
The Jets surprised me more.
Yeah? Absolutely. Gary V's team? Yeah, I'm surprised.
I am more surprised because I was not as down on the Giants. I mean, their roster overall is not terrible, but they've got an exciting new defensive prospect starting on the team. I've never been that low on Daniel Jones, and I thought he's fighting for his contract. This is his last chance, and he's leaving it all out on the field, and it's kind of fun to watch. Saquon Barkley is back and has been playing phenomenal. He looks like the best running back in the NFL.
And a free agent at the end of the year.
He's playing for everything right now. And hey, Brian Daboll is, he's
a good coach.
Looking like the coach of the year right now. I mean, I wasn't really necessarily expecting
the old coach of the year conversation. Who did we think was going to be shit? We can't figure out why they're good. Blame it on the coach. Good job, coach.
It's awesome. It's him or Mike Tomlin. But I've been very down on the Jets. Like, I don't see anything that interests me there. I absolutely don't believe in Zach Wilson. I think he's a complete bust. And what else is there on the roster? I guess I didn't know that Breece Hall would be a solid running back. He looks good. Looks real good. Sauce Gardner, an interesting. Okay, you got a quarterback that's a rookie that's pretty good. The rest, I just...
Wearing a cheese head after beating your team on the field.
I know. So funny. Ha, ha, ha. Chuckle, chuckle. What a character. So, yeah. Like, the Jets coming out here and beating teams is really surprising to me. I'm not shocked that the Giants have been spunky. They've had to get a little creative. They've had to make some things interesting in order to finish these games. But it's worked out, and it's kind of neat. I don't care about the Jets.
And the Jets are just like a pitfall of shit. I mean, besides Mark Sanchez and the two NFC championships, like, they've just been a shit show.
Come on. Vinny Testaverde.
Gosh. No. So.
Geno Smith.
Okay, fine. All right. Jeez, he got punched in the face. To answer your other question, Dan, I think the Lions are going to win this week against the Cowboys.
Wow.
I picked the Lions to upset the Cows.
Wow.
I don't think Dak's back. If he is,
he's supposed to.
I might
start.
Change my pick on that.
But he said he's like, what did he say? He's like an
you,
A.
You're the big fan of America's team, so you would know.
He said in a conference or something that
he's
an A but he wants to be an A plus or something. Goofy,
love that.
Goofy like that. Pretending
see,
I, to.
I think they have a better chance against the Dolphins the next week, but that's just me.
There you go.
There you go, Dan. Okay. There's our answer. Next take comes from Jamie Heslaw, my brother. My brother. That game went about as I expected, Bills and Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Chiefs DBs give up big plays. Snead played quite well, but those young guys just can't hang. The D-line did good for the Bills. The defensive back played well, but up front, I feel like they struggled, excluding the last drive, I'd say. Bills needed to make sure they don't do what they did last year and win the Super Bowl in the regular season. It's a great line by Jamie. I've been a big fan of saying that as well, and I think that the Bills have been, the last few years, a pretty damn good regular season team. I'll be very interested to see if they can put it all together because right now they're number one in every category in terms of overall offense, overall defense, and overall special teams. They're number one. So, Jamie, we like your take. Brianne, his girlfriend, thanks for not sending us a take. We'll see you next week. Bring the mojo. Final question comes from Simon Reedsma. Kyle, break it down for us.
Thank you, Simon, for the great question. Okay, Simon tells us that the Raiders will win 4 of the next 5. They will finish the season 9-8, earn a wild card spot, for the second year running, in the playoffs. They are coming off the bye hot, hot, hot. Well into the bye cold. But the bye week is like a Raider furnace. Better get your oven mitts. Texans. Cool. What a good one, Simon.
Get your mittens up, Colleen.
Yeah.
Texans fan.
Simon / Curtis. Is that what you always called them, Rick?
Yeah, Curtis. Yeah, yeah, Curtis. He looks like a Curtis.
Shout out to Curtis. Those are our Twitter prompts. And by the way, before we cut that off, Raiders, you got a lot to prove after Devontae Adams is throwing down reporters and cameramen on the way out of the game. Simon, is he a Raiders fan? God bless him.
Not to my knowledge.
God bless. I mean, I've never heard somebody just randomly give a Raiders take. Unless it's John Gruden related. I haven't heard that in a while. So well,
here we are.
Shout out to you, Simon.
We have a big fan base, Marshall.
We're trying to acquire a fan for each team.
I know. We're working on it. We've probably got a third.
Something to keep an eye on for sure.
What do you think about that? Do you think that's completely out of the question? You think?
Yeah, I think he's out of his mind.
Yeah. There's no chance the Raiders can finish with 9 wins. They have one already. They're 1-4 or 1-5.
I was the guy that said the Raiders this year were going to be a wild card team. I just don't see it. Their team just is, yeah, they had a bye week. I guess we'll be curious to see what they do off bye. I love betting teams off a bye week, by the way. If anyone out there is a gambler, you got a bye week, give the team.
Texans are their first matchup.
I'd lock that one in right now.
Shouldn't
but it's
my
not
lock.
My lock.
It's not my lock.
It's not my lock. But we'll move on to our weekly segment. Every week we come up with a different segment, and this week we are going to talk about our off-season move check-ins. Who's the winner? Who's the losers? Head scratchers. There were a lot of moves this year. I'm going to ramble through some right now. Russell Wilson to Denver, Tyreek to Miami, Devontae to Las Vegas, Baker to Carolina, Deshaun to Cleveland, Mitch Trubisky to the Steelers, Amari Cooper to Cleveland, Allen Robinson to the Rams, A.J. Brown to Philly, Scantlin to the Chiefs, Von Miller to Buffalo, Mariota to Atlanta, Julio Jones to Tampa Bay, Khalil Mack to the L.A. Chargers, Za'Darius Smith to Minnesota, Carson Wentz to Washington, Matt Ryan to Indianapolis. We're probably forgetting a few, but we're going to break down our winners first. Who won the offseason? Who are we looking at and saying, wow, check, 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 plus? All for right. me, it's not a question. Tyreek Hill. The joke in the comment was, can he do it with a different quarterback? Not only has he done it with a different quarterback, he's done it with three.
What a test.
He has absolutely changed the game for them, and it's kind of interesting to see if some of those players, I think of like just unique. Like, could Cooper Kupp do what he does with a different team, like he does with Matt Stafford? It kind of makes me question some of those things, whereas before I probably would have been like, no.
We have seen, I mean, there are a lot of teams in the NFL who have a good wide receiver, a pretty good number one wide receiver, and we've seen what that's like and the impact that a good wide number one can have on a team, but it's amazing to see what a team with two good wide receivers can accomplish, because that changes the game drastically when your defense can't double team anyone, when you have two threats. And there have been a lot of teams who have had a lot of success. The Rams had good success with it last year, and the Bengals, the two teams that made the Super Bowl, had very well above average number one and number two wide receivers.
Multiple targets is always... It's hard. Huge. It's so much harder to defend against.
It's true. The D has to go one-on-one against them both, and that creates a matchup that the offense is willing to attack.
Yeah, and you add a decent tight end, and it makes it just...
That's quarterback heaven.
Yeah.
Right there.
And so, yeah, I mean...
It doesn't matter that Joe Burrow was getting sacked every other play last three seasons. What a poor guy. Yeah, they've had a lot of success with it, and the Cows have had good receivers for a while, and the Vikings and the Bills and so on. So now here we are with the Dolphins rocking two top tier receivers at the same time, and that just shreds opposing defenses.
I think especially if you look at the scheme that they've had. And that they're working towards. I mean, you're putting two pieces of peanut butter and jelly together and wonder why it tastes so damn good. Yeah. So, winner, winner, chicken dinner for me. Rick, who's your winner of the offseason?
Well, this is going to be controversial, but and it'll probably annoy Kyle. So, half.
Let's go.
But I say the Bucs. They got Tom Brady.
Screw
back.
You.
Yeah, they got Tom Brady back. I mean, yeah, come true. On. They were like, oh, well, they're going to have a pretty dull offseason, and they'll just be also ran type of team. And no, and Tom comes back, and it's over. It's they got Russell Gage after pretty soon after that from a division rival, to boot. He makes them, well, in contention again. Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
I say that's a huge winner. And then the others I would say is the New York Jets. They added some solid veterans, and then they just drafted just well the last 2 years.
Impeccable.
Yeah.
Impeccable.
And you know, the NFL is a league that can rebuild very quickly through a draft. Mm. Unlike baseball or hockey, where you're drafting high schoolers, you're drafting known commodities when it comes to the NFL, and you can pretty quickly rebuild your team if you draft well. So, yeah. So
what's
I'd
your
say
excuse, that's, Detroit? What's your freaking excuse?
Oh wow, Ian! Wapow! Wapow, Ian! We're ready to throw some haymakers at you, Ian. Yeah,
you heard
there.
It right here. It's not that hard. It doesn't take that long. It certainly doesn't take 55 years.
Well, Kyle, give us your winners of the offseason. Looking back.
I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
Season after season.
The number one team.
The only thing that has mattered to this team is to get just better enough to beat the Chiefs. That's it. That's the singular goal. While the rest of the teams out there are trying to shoot for the Lombardi Trophy or at least just an above 500 record for a bunch of them, the Bills have just been focused on beating the Chiefs. All we need to do is get better enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not even a division rival. They're in the same conference, but they're the bane of the Bills' existence because the Bills have been good for a while, but not good enough. Close. And they just needed to get a little better. And so they did. They did. Last season, they got better than the season before. They've been in the right direction. This year, it seems like they made the leap. And a big part of that was the acquisition of Von Miller, who he is hoping to be like the first NFL player in history to win a Super Bowl on three different teams. That would be amazing because he just went halfway through the season last season. He switched from the Denver Broncos to the LA Rams to jump aboard that bandwagon. Rode that wave to a trophy. And now he's jumping on the best team. And it looked like it paid off in spades yesterday when the Bills actually came out and beat the Chiefs and all was right in the universe for them.
Yeah. I just kind of look at those situations and say, it's not the time to be saying that they're the great ones. Like, it's not. And, I think of like the Houston Rockets. They built a roster around only stopping the Warriors. They didn't account for Steph being Steph for the last 2 or 3 years where when James Harden was at his peak, they can't cover him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter who you brought in. It doesn't matter how many PJ Tuckers you put on your roster. We're going to just elevate our game. And you thought that our game was, 9 out of 10, we're an 11 out of 10, and we're going to show you why. So I'll be very interested to see if the Bills can continue this. Great they're doing it through 6 weeks. I mean, you can't win a playoff game until you're in the playoffs. So I'm not going to say shut up and do it in the playoffs because we haven't gotten there yet. But I will say, just like every other year, you don't do it in the playoffs and you walk around here and act like this regular season was the greatest thing in the world, we're going to chirp you. So
fine.
Time to move on to our losers. I'm going to make this short and sweet. It's Denver. It's Russell Wilson. It's Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep.
Y'all suck. Okay. And I'm not going to lie, even though Matt Ryan had, 52 completions?
42 of 58 or something.
It's nuts. Yeah. Nuts. Even That's though he had 42 completions and 50 some passes, I still think the Colts taking him has been a loss. I think that we looked at Indy and said, they're a team that could step up. And now the joke is, like, what quarterback are they going to have? Like, 9 years from now, somebody made the joke that, like, Zach Wilson's going to be a great quarterback for, the Colts as he's on his way out of the career. Right. And they're on their way out of their ninth quarterback in between these 9 years. So, and obviously we have to say it, Wentz and the Washington Commanders. Y'all lost.
yeah, those are bad. Those are all pretty bad. I honestly don't know what the Colts should have done instead. I mean, like, what's your alternative here? Keep Carson Wentz? No. I genuinely think Matt Ryan's better than Carson Wentz.
Yeah, but I don't think that in terms of was it a loss, did they get what they thought they were going to? No. Did they do better than what Carson Wentz is? Sure, that's great. But that's not the answer of maybe. Did you win
it,
or lose?
Honestly, it is actually kind of like in that debatable territory. Yeah. It's not a...
I'm not saying this is a Carson Wentz in Commander's situation. It's not that. Like right. Where your own coach is going up to the podium and he's saying, what's the difference between your team and their team? And he just flat out says, the quarterback. Name me the last time somebody did that about their quote-unquote star quarterback and just said, yep, it's a quarterback.
He's trying
to get fired.
Given these circumstances, I usually feel bad for the player. But for some reason, I don't feel bad for Carson Wentz. I don't know why. There's something about the guy that I just like, I don't really care. You don't got my sympathy, man. You suck. You're a problem. You're an expensive problem.
Kyle, give us your loser of the offseason. Besides the Packers.
I'm going to say the Packers were losers in this offseason, but I'm going to say the LA Rams, notably. They lost Von Miller, who went to the Bills and got to beat his team, the LA Rams, in the first game of the season. They lost Odell Beckham Jr., who is just unsigned at this point.
Unsigned. He is currently taking trips around NFL teams and just sitting on sidelines dapping people up.
Yeah, how interesting.
Saying, you know what? The Giants, they're not bad. I wouldn't mind going back there.
Yeah.
Bucks? Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, make me an offer.
I like Tom.
They lost Robert Woods, a wide receiver, who wasn't a big contributor last season.
Was a big staple in that locker room with Cooper Kupp, though. Good friends with him. Right, great. Right. He kind of balanced out the rosters in terms of how they do route running.
So now he's over on the Titans. And Andrew Whitworth retired, an important part of their offensive line.
And an amazing beard, by the way.
Right. So their roster is not quite what it was last season. And they look bad. They look bad.
True.
They're off to a rough start this season.
Oof.
For the defending Super Bowl champs, this is not good. So I'm saying the Rams are losers.
How about you, Rick?
Well, I know this isn't going to be popular, but I say the Falcons, and I just
America's team.
Yeah, America's team.
That's right.
And mostly because of what they lost in the offseason, but also just the Bucs' gains or their losses. I mean, you know, they make their division that much harder to win, and they lost a key player to the Bucs on top of that. So I just say, when it comes to the offseason, not saying that the season thus far, even though they are what 3-3,
correct?
Yeah, they were just losers this offseason. I still think they're a decent team. I just, you know, I think it takes them down a peg and out of really, I guess, contention.
Yeah, I kind of have a hard time looking at Russell Gage. I don't think there's anybody. I don't think there's a podcast in America right now that's saying Russell Gage is defining the win or loss of the offseason. I respect the hustle out of you right there.
Do you think Marcus Mariota was an upgrade or downgrade from Matt Ryan?
Upgrade.
You genuinely believe?
Upgrade.
Marcus Mariota.
Last year? I'm saying last year's Matt Ryan.
He's coming off the bench.
Last year's Matt Ryan, though.
Marcus Mariota's a backup to Derek Carr.
Hold on. Are we agreeing last year's Matt Ryan? I'm not saying Matt Ryan that was slinging it to Julio Jones in his rookie year for 45 yards every play. I'm talking about last year's Matt Ryan. Last year's Matt Ryan was really hard to watch. I don't know if you watched some of those games. Hard to watch.
Yeah, but he was actually a starter for an NFL team, unlike Marcus
Mariota.
So
are you going to say that about Geno? Because Geno wasn't. We're going to just keep bringing this back to
your take. You
didn't
hesitate. You're saying it's not even debatable.
I don't think it is.
Whenever he comes up, I feel like you resent him more than Kirk Cousins.
No, that's not a question. Don't insult me.
You've never had a good thing to say about, a lot of players, to be fair. But
thank you.
Matt Ryan in particular.
Thank you. My reputation stands. My reputation precedes me. I definitely haven't had I haven't had a good or bad thing to say about Russell Gage. I'll tell you that. I mean, he's had 20 yards, 20 yards, 24 yards, 87, 27, 13. That's the yards that he's had this year. 7 yards a catch, 1 TD.
What are you doing?
That's Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts right there. Kyle Pitts has 1 touchdown. You know, he just got his first touchdown on American soil.
That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand.
And you know why? Because Matt Ryan didn't get him a touchdown last year. Suck it, Kyle.
How did he not have a touchdown last
year? Oh,
that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know. I have one last loser I needed to add that I did not put on here, and that is the owner of the Washington Racial Slurs Now Commanders. And that name of him is what, Kyle?
Dan Snyder.
Thank you. We need him out of this league. There was a report that came out before Thursday Night Football yesterday or last week that he had hired private investigators to basically tail and find information about Roger Goodell and all of the other owners in case his news gets leaked and he has to sell his team that he ain't going alone. That is the type of owner that scares the shit out of me.
He's if I was another schmuck. Owner. Such I mean, he's a complete awful. Schmuck.
And then you think about it that an ESPN was reporting this. ESPN's their partner. Imagine a league partner investigate. I love that. I love that they're investigating. And also, with that comes, I think that we need to take that seriously because Al Michaels is on the Thursday Night Football talking about how Daniel Snyder might not be the only person unhappy in this crowd after the news that broke today. That does not happen. We need to alert, get the sirens going, yeah. Because we do not, as in, like, as media in the NFL, I say we, yeah, whatever.
Right.
But the NFL media does not traditionally go against the NFL on things. It's really like just a line of high fives. Like, oh my gosh, they did this good and this good, and they're changing this, and don't worry about that. Oh, and don't worry away. About the concussion.
Look away.
Look over here at Bud Light. Bud Light. Like,
right.
Papa John's, don't worry about the racism. We're with Little Caesars now. Like, the NFL is so reactionary, as we've talked about, but this is really like a cool thing that I saw Amazon take a step forward and say, Jeff Bezos is, first of all, owns the Washington Post, who's been investigating Daniel Snyder for the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, that he's owned it. He's like, screw it. You think they're going to tell Jeff Bezos that you're going to tell me and my people what we can say on Thursday Night Football? No. So I thought that was a really kind of a cool development to see and just something for us to keep an eye on.
It's honestly seems plausible that he could be pushed out because we are nothing and the fans mean nothing.
Wow.
And even the players have no power and the staff and the managers and coaches and all of, and Roger Goodell has got nothing. The only people who have power are the owners. They're the ones who matter in the sense that they can actually make change. And so if Dan Snyder is getting on the wrong side of the other owners, he's not going to be an owner for long.
Yep.
They can push him out.
It's going to be interesting to
Goodell
see.
Goodell cannot push him out.
You got
fans cannot push
Kyle,
him out.
Kyle, you got to think of this. What was that meeting like where Roger Goodell called the other 31 teams and said, guys, I got my laptop open. The internet's off. I'm in the notepad section. I need all the skeletons. Everything that you have, I need to know before we leave this room. I need the skeletons, and I'm going to type them up. And then I'm not ever going to connect to the internet because I don't want to get hacked. But I'm telling you, we need to know it before we go into this meeting because Dan Snyder's, he's got something on a bunch of you. So it'd be a fun little meeting to sit on. Our next segment comes from the one, the only, Fantasy Football Update.
Kyle's Fantasy Football League Update.
We love that sound. Kyle, give us your update.
That's incredible. I lost this week. Had a bad performance from my team. Honestly, my opponent had a bad performance too, but Team Kyler Mowry is now 3-3.
That's a great name, I have to say.
Thank you. That's good. Thank you. That's all.
great update there, Kyle. Thank you. Thanks for the breakdown. We're going to talk about our must-watch game of the week, the game that if you don't have Red Zone, if you're not going to watch everything, you need to watch this one game. In honor of Ian DeWitt not being here on our podcast today, we are going to pick the Cowboys versus the Lions, baby. Let's treat it like Thanksgiving. Okay. Anything?
The who? Oh, yeah, the Lions game. That's good. Let's watch the Lions play.
We're picking the Lions basically because both Kyle and I have picked the Lions in our spreadsheet, and Ian has picked the Cowboys.
Oh.
So It's going to be one of those classic Kyle Maurer picks where he picks against his team, but picks, you know, is going to be happy if his team wins, even though his other team, it's going to be great.
I just got a text from Simon Reedsma sharing a tweet that he found interesting.
Wow.
With a stat.
Lay it on me.
With a stat. This comes from at Werder at ESPN. Russell
Ed Werder.
Yeah, Ed Werder. Russell Wilson started the game completing his first 9 attempts to 9 different pass catches.
Wow.
According to Elias Sports.
Love Elias Sports.
No quarterback going back to 1978 started a game 9 for 9 to 9 different players. That's as far back as Elias can go for that stat.
Wow.
Crazy.
He still sucks.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our predictions.
Yeah. 9 receivers is
crazy. It's 9 different people. It's 9 receivers, tight ends, running backs.
That's what I'm saying, 9 pass catchers. Yeah, like there are most games, quarterbacks don't finish the game with that many. Anyway.
Definitely not. If you watch Notre Dame, he just throws the same damn tight end every day.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our predictions. We're going to start with our locks, the game that we guarantee. All right, put your house on it. They're going to win, okay? And my team that's going to win are the Baltimore Ravens over the Cleveland Browns.
They are not going to lose.
They are going to win. Rick, who do you got as your lock of the week?
I got Tampa Bay over Carolina.
I like it. Nice. You don't. You got Tom Brady isn't going to scream at his teammates like he did on the sideline yesterday. I left my kids and Giselle for this to lose them. Kenny Pickett. I'm kidding. He didn't say that. Yeah. Ian's lock of the week, who is not here, is New England over Chicago, taking Ian's advice of picking the two shitty teams you don't want to watch and saying, who's going to be less shitty? Kyle, who's your lock for the week?
I'm taking the Packers over the Commanders.
Let's go. I think they're going to win for sure. Yeah. Not even a question. Let's move on to our upset of the week, the team that we think Vegas is wrong. And I think we're going to start with Ian's and mine. We're both going New York. Ian has the Giants over the Jacksonville Jaguars. How are the Giants an underdog? 3.5 points right
now.
I do
not understand. Really? Why are people so high on the Jaguars?
I don't know. But I'm picking Jacksonville on it. So, and my upset pick of the week is the Jets over Denver. I don't care what's going on right now in Monday Night Football. I could care less because in not prime time, they're going to get their ass kicked next week by the Jets.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Rick, who's your upset of the week?
I got Seattle over the Chargers.
What? Are you just saying that because Kyle's right there?
What?
Geno. His love.
I'm like a defender of so many.
I really want the fantasy football update to just be like, now it's time for Kyle to talk about Geno Smith.
I feel like that's my role here on the pod to be like, you guys, stop being so.
Guys, listen to Geno.
Stop being so mean to Kyler. Stop being so mean.
Gosh, Cliff Kingsbury said he'd give up the play call if it benefits the
Kirk
team.
Kirk Cousins isn't that bad, you guys.
Give us your upset of the week, Kyle.
I'm taking the Lions over the Cows.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's go. That's for you at home, Ian.
Coming off the bye week.
Well, any other news we got to leave out here? Rick, did the one and only Red Wings win?
They lost in overtime.
But sucks to suck.
They got a point.
Oh, they got the point.
They got a point.
That's so. A good. You know what?
Okay.
It's almost like they got 2 points for winning and one for tying. For those of you at home, we really appreciate you reaching out to the pod at the Point After NFL on Twitter.
You're a child!
Kyle thought his mic was muted because I muted him earlier. We appreciate you sending a text, a tweet, a message to our group. We love our fan interaction. We hope that you pass this pod along to people. We hope that you tell a couple coworkers, family, friends. We love it because we can't wait to have you and your crew listen to us next week.